And thank you all, ladies, so much for the beautiful music this week. This weekend, it fit perfectly, and it's honoring to the Lord. And so I'm so thankful for all of you who have ministered to our hearts. I love the second verse of that song about it's good for us to think ahead to when we stand before the Lord one day. And it makes us to plan backward, to say, I want to live today so that I can stand before Him one day and we can hear Him say, well done, and that He can see that we've wanted to live faithfully and serve Him faithfully, and we did. We did with His help, with His grace. So I'm so thankful for that. Before I get started this afternoon, I actually found out this morning, and Robin probably told me and I just forgot, so Brother John told me, that they're live streaming this, so... Because he told me that my good friend Angie Schrope was watching. Shout out to you, Angie. And I love her. I think it's already Sunday morning for her. They said she took a nap so she could stay up late and be with us. And there's probably other friends, obviously. But because I knew that Angie was watching, so I wanted to say hi to you. And we love you and we miss you. But we're thankful that you and your house are serving the Lord faithfully there in Australia. Sorry, I'm going to get crying. And Ms. Shannon, you did it for us, and so it was good. I told Ms. Shannon I put X's over every page of my lesson, so I'm done. Make it sit down. We can go to lunch. But Robin would kill me. She'd say, get back up there. Oh, goodness. I'm thankful for the opportunity, Ms. Robin. Thank you so much for just your friendship, but for the opportunity to just for us to all come together, be together as ladies and hear the word. I know it's encouraging for me, and I pray that it's an encouragement for you. I know that we've already, Ms. Shannon mentioned it, and Brother Abels had mentioned it, and it's just all, obviously, it's just a complete change in our lives, but what the pandemic has done and COVID and all that has come with that, and how it's altered our lives in so many different ways that we actually never dreamed possible. You know, if you all think 2 years ago that somebody would tell you that we wouldn't be in having church in person, I would have said, you're out of your loving mind. You know, there's no way. And, but yet, you know, it happened. And then to wear masks. And again, I'm not, like Ms. Shannon said, I'm not, but I mean, just the thought, I'm not saying right or wrong about it. I'm just saying 2 years ago, we would have never even dreamed of wearing a mask or quarantining or, the job loss and the sickness and the hospitalization and even all the other, there's so many things that have come with it, you know. So you may have been like I for a season where you're almost in a state of shock, you know, as it all began to unfold. Like, what in the world is happening here? And because of the length of it, and obviously we're not finished with it, then it's brought about changes in our life. And I don't want to just come like doomsday to say that they've all been bad changes. If I were honest with you, the lockdown was a precious time for me. I had time with my boys, and I had time at home, and just in a lot of ways of doing things and getting life even back in order. And we're going to talk about that today. So it's not all been bad changes, but wouldn't you agree with me too? It's brought some unfortunate changes in our life as well. And so I want to encourage you today. I want to help to exhort us and to encourage us not to become lazy in our service for the Lord. And especially as we looked at last night, as for me, and then Joshua said, and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, I want to ask you really quick, because, you know, obviously as your children get older, God has a way of teaching you things that you thought you knew, but you didn't really know. And so obviously, you know, Joshua could have said, we don't know anything about Joshua's family. But if we consider ourselves in that, in my family, we're going to serve the Lord. Well, we all know that every one of our children has a choice of their own that they make. We cannot force them to do anything. They will make their own choices. And so obviously we pray and we work and we serve in such a way that our children are in an environment, our families are in an environment, we're the help to our husband, the good, encouraging influence to our husband to say, I am going to do my part with God's grace and help to create a home in which serving the Lord is a joy. in which serving the Lord is our main focus, in which serving the Lord is the center of our life, because the Lord is the center of our lives. And as we do that, if for some reason our children were to make decisions that weren't right or away from the Lord, we can look back and say, God, I may not have done everything right, but with your grace and your help, I really tried to serve you, to be the example that you wanted me to be, to raise our children to love and to know the Lord. So I just want to throw that out. I never want to say now that it's just a blanket statement, and I don't even want to allude to the fact that my children are not making, you know, good decisions. But as your children get older and they begin making your own decisions, then your heart begins to quake sometimes, because you're like, Lord, are they in your will? Are they not in your will? But I look back and I pray that by God's good grace and help, that we have done our part in what God wanted us to do to create a home that is joyful and active in serving the Lord. So I think back again to the creation, where God created Adam and he gave him the responsibility of having dominion over the created work, the world. He gave him work even before the curse. Now, the curse made work awful, but work was established even before the curse came. And he gave Eve to Adam to be a help. And so today, God has given your husband, if you're married, responsibility. He's given you responsibility to fulfill the God-given call. And if you're married, he's given you as a help to your husband to fulfill that call that he has in your life. And so as I began to think about that, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I just had this one little phrase, and you've heard it before, maybe more in a courtroom, but the term that we hear, order in the court, order in the court. And so that's what I've titled my lesson today, order in the court, because truly your home is your castle. It's your palace. And if you're married and have a husband, your husband is the king of that palace. If you're a child in the home, your dad is the king of that castle, the king of that court. And you, mom or wife, or your mom is the queen of that court. And if you have littles or big littles or children, then you have in your home now, then you have princes and you have princesses. And by God's good grace, each family member has been given talents and abilities and God-given role. And as you live under God's authority, and as you have the fear of God in your life, it inevitably, as God promised, brings peace and order in your court. But we all know that we're sinners. We know that our heart, even though we're saved, that we still have that sin nature working in us. And that sin nature is constantly battling us, and Satan is battling us, and this old fallen world that we live in is not going to allow for us to have order in the court and peace in the court just without even trying, without giving some kind of effort to having peace and order in the court. I remember in my early years of marriage, I just, you know, sometimes life would get out of whack and out of order, and I would just become so frustrated by it. And I just remember even crying out to God sometimes, like, what in the world is wrong here? I can't seem to cover all the bases. And I still get like that at times, but I found in the truth of God's word that God has created order in the home and in authority. And I think that, honestly, if we as ladies had months of lessons on authority, I don't know if we would still understand the significance of us living under the authority. That's a lot of the problems that come in society and in homes and in churches today, is because people don't know how to live under authority and submit themselves to authority. And so it's very important that we understand, and this is what God gave me to help me to bring order in my life. And I told him, as long as I talk to ladies, that I would want to teach this lesson and this principle. And it's simply this, is that first of all, I am a person. Now, all of these begin with P, so if you're taking notes, they're all P's. But first of all, I am a person. My relationship with the Lord is first. It is the primary relationship that I am supposed to give attention to and that should be in order. The second one, if you're married, and as I'm married, I'm a partner. My relationship with my husband comes next. Third, I'm a parent. If you're a parent, if you have children, that's the next one. Fourth, you could say maybe a professional. Your job comes next. For me, I'm a pastor's wife. And so that was kind of my thing, that sometimes that I would get that pastor's wife and my ministry responsibilities kind of out of whack. And I would give more attention to things at the church and the things in my home, but my home's frustrated because all my attention is given at the church. But then at the same time, I do have responsibility at the church, and I can't forsake that and be a bad example of servanthood to the church and just stick in my home and stay with my kids all the time and never want to get out and serve the Lord. Do you see what I'm saying? Even it can get switched up with parent and child, whereas a mom, you could give more attention to your children than you do to your husband and the relationship with your husband. And that's very frustrating to a man because he was your husband before you became a mama. I just recently was teasing some of the, and I'm not meaning this lightly because I know as mamas it's a serious thing for us, but some of the moms are dropping off their last child at Heartland Baptist Bible College. And that's a big deal. I mean, this empty nest thing, it's serious. Because for some of us mamas, we found all too quickly and unfortunately that our identities were wrapped up in our children. And so when our children left, we were like, okay, what do we do with ourselves? And it reminded me really quick that our identity has got to be in the Lord. It can't be in our children because one of these days, they're going to leave. Our identity can't even be in our husbands because God forbid that he would leave or die or whatever. But the thing that doesn't change about us is that we're God's child and our identity is found in him. But these mamas were leaving their last child and they were like, man, I don't even know what I'm going to do with myself. You know, all the kids are gone. And they said, and you know, we've been so busy with the kids that even our husband have taken over household responsibilities like vacuuming or cooking. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Some of you know your husbands are better cooks than you are. And you're like, take it, you know. But they were like, I said, well, you better watch out, though, because after the kids are gone, he's going to give those responsibilities back to you if you don't find something to do, you know. And they were like, oh, yeah, you know. And then I said, you may want to just like, be his wife. And it got quiet. I'm like, I'm not trying to be convicting. I'm just saying, he may be really glad for you. You may be really glad just to have his wife back. And I said it to one couple that were together. And when I said it, the husband, he just put his arms around her. And he said, yes, I just want you to be my wife. I just want you to be my wife. And it was such a visual picture for me, for us as wives, that they want us. They need us. And we need to keep that relationship fresh and important and give attention to getting his ding-dongs. Steal them. If the pastor gets the last package of ding-dongs, steal them from the pastor for your husband. Just teasing. But I am saying, make sure that relationship with the Lord has got to come first. Because if that's all out of whack, you're going to be aunt to your husband and aunt to your kids and aunt to everybody around you. So it's so very important that we keep those things in order. And then as we keep those relationships in order, and I'm asking the Lord to help me to be very practical today, because I love coming to ladies' retreats and I'm encouraged. But at the same time, like when I go home, I want to put something into practice. I want to go home and do something with what I learned, you know. So some of that is what we're going to be talking about today. So we've got to be responsible, just as Joshua said, choose ye this day. Then as ladies, we need to choose today that we are going to be responsible for the decisions that we make in life. Because if we are not responsible for managing our lives and ordering our lives according to what God says, then there are other people and other influences that are going to manage our lives. It's going to happen. If you don't take responsibility for it, someone or something will take responsibility for managing your life. And that's when things often get chaotic. You know, as believers, we have a higher authority than just our comfort and our convenience in managing our lives. We can't base all of our decisions. Now, granted, I'm not saying there's everything right with comfort and convenience unless it trumps what God said. And then comfort and convenience become a god. We bow down to comfort and convenience rather than God Almighty. So if we know that we're not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but yet we choose comfort and convenience. You see where I'm going? And I'm going to repeat myself if I'm not careful. So we've got to give priorities. We've got to put order. We've got to live for things eternal. Matthew 6:33 encapsulates it. But seek ye first. Say to you, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So it is a key verse for the priority in our life has first to be the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We've got to make sure that we're living for eternal things, for eternal things. All of these things are going to pass away, ladies, but the things that are eternal, that is what's going to last. So it's so important that we live for the things that are eternal. Now, one of the authors that I was reading after, she kind of gave us some signs that there may be some disorder in our life. Now, I'm just going to give you a heads up. These may be convicting at first, and there may be not tell-all, but I think it helps for us to look at our lives in a good, in-depth, to determine, is there some disorder in our life? And so these were some of the things that she said that may often be signs that we kind of have things out of order. One is that our personal space and our homes and cars and offices and in our personal space, there's lots of clutter. Lots of clutter. Maybe you are forgetting appointments. Maybe there's special events that you have been thinking about, but then everything goes crazy and you forget all about them. Maybe you're missing deadlines, you're not paying bills, you're not, you know, doing the things that you're responsible to be doing. And I know that can be convicting because, honestly, our lives are sometimes so busy. I remember my first year of marriage, I talked to my mother for an hour on her birthday and never said happy birthday to her, you know. So I understand some of it is just the normal things of life or whatever, but I did have things out of order then at that time too. But those are some of those, maybe some signs. Maybe you're putting a lot of energy into unproductive tasks that really don't have any value to helping you yourself or your home. Maybe you have a bad attitude, and maybe you think really bad things about yourself. Usually that's a sign that things are in disorder. And maybe you're not really close with God, and maybe you have strained personal relationships around you. You know, if you're having problems at work and or school and home and church, the common denominator might be you. I don't mean that bad, but really we need to look at ourselves sometimes and make sure that we're not the problem in the situation and things are out of order. Now there's hope in the situation because God helps us to get things in order. So order is not, let me remind you, and this is kind of like the central idea of this lesson, okay? Order is not an end in itself. We're not living just for order. But order is a means to have a more productive life in service for the King of Kings. And order is a means to have more freedom to serve the Lord. Do you see that? If we have things in order, then we're more free to serve the Lord. And we're more productive in our service for the Lord. So please, if you're a perfectionist or if you're OCD about things, you know, please don't think that I'm saying you have to have order. No. I'm saying you need to serve the Lord. And serving the Lord in a fallen world is hard, so let's step back a few steps and try to get things in order. Listen to what Christopher Robin said to Winnie the Pooh. Okay? Get this one? Christopher Robin said this to Winnie the Pooh. Organizing is what you do before you do something, so that when you do it, it's not all mixed up. Don't you love that? Organizing is what you do before you do something, so that when you do it, it's not all mixed up. And when we like it, if we're going to put our efforts into something, we don't want them to be all mixed up. We want them to be productive, and we want them to be good. So I have just a couple of things, and we're going to run through these fairly quickly. But I want you to beware of some enemies of order. Beware of some enemies that are going to bind you from serving the Lord freely, that are going to bind you from being productive in your service for the Lord. And the first one is this: serving in the flesh rather than in the spirit. Serving in the flesh rather than the spirit. Now, some years ago in ministry, you heard the word burnout a lot. I don't know if you remember those days. You heard, and maybe you still do. I don't hear it as much now. But you hear about burnout. Well, I'm just burnt out, you know? And even a clinical definition that they gave of it is burnout is the perception that a person is giving more than she's receiving. That she's giving more than she's receiving. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6. He said this, "Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again." I'm going to do good. I'm going to serve the Lord, but I'm going to hope for nothing in return. And I guarantee you, if you live with that kind of Christ-like mindset, then burnout's going to be diminished. Burnout occurs when you're trying to perform in your weak, and I'm trying to perform in our weak flesh, what can only be done through the inexhaustible power of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, ladies, our flesh is weak. And with doing what Jesus calls us to do, we cannot do it in our flesh. We get frustrated in a hurry. So we must depend upon the Spirit for there to be order and freedom to serve the Lord. The next one is this, the love of pleasure. The love of pleasure. Pleasure is America's escape route. When life gets hard, Americans want, including us, we want to have some kind of pleasure. And I can't even exhaust all the ways that we go about, in some ways, making pleasure our idol. We actually run to pleasure through sleep, through eating, through vacationing. Not that vacations are wrong. Don't get me wrong. There's a right time and there's good things for sleep. We all need to eat. These are good things, but I'm just saying it's another thing. If we take this good thing and magnify it above what God intended for it, then it brings disorder into our life. Vacationing, constant reading of novels, game apps. I'm sorry. I have just been amazed at some of the ladies, even within our church, you know, that they just go from conquering one game app to another game app. You know, the little find the hide and seek things or whatever. There's nothing wrong with them. They do keep your mind sharp. There are some good things that they can be used for. But when you do it for 4 and 5 hours at a time and you have to conquer it, I'm just saying. Yeah, it's an escape from doing what things that are profitable. Shopping, and then these, I have scrolling, trolling, and remote controlling. And some of you younger generation know that much better than I do. Scrolling, trolling, trolling, following people, and remote controlling. So these escapes, they dull our senses. Do you realize that? I don't care what age you are. And if you have children, they dull our senses to the needs that God has around us. They dull our senses to our husbands, to our children, the things that we need to be taking care of in life, our extended family, our church family, even our own personal needs, things that we need to be doing for ourselves, they dull us. And in Proverbs, it says, "He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man." So I'm just saying, if you want to be poor, then keep on, you know, but let's not let the love of pleasure keep us from freely serving the Lord. Being a workaholic, obviously work is good, and if God's given you a job, praise the Lord, and bear His image in your job place. But you know, there are some ladies that they cannot rest. They are just go, 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 go all the time, and they find their identity in being busy, and it leads to exhaustion. And we all know that when we're exhausted physically, it is so much easier to have spiritual and emotional and mental attacks that Satan can bring into our lives. So it's so important that we put work in its proper place. You know, and a lot of time, it's fueled by even deeper issues like fear of not having enough or fear of not having what you want to keep you at that societal level that you want to live at. One day I prayed with a lady at church and she said, "Oh God, you know the standard of living that we set years ago. And will you please give us the finances to keep up with that standard of living?" And I was like, are you kidding me? I mean, it was a high standard of living, you know? But she wasn't willing to bring her standard of living down to have freedom to serve the Lord. She wanted God to know that she had set the standard and for Him to meet it. Yikes. I moved back a couple of spaces. So just make sure that your work list, your to-do list matches God's to-do list for you. Okay? Okay, this one is going to get a little chuckle, but sometimes also, besides the ones that we've mentioned, love of pleasure, working for self, that's giving us freedom, that's it's going to is keeping us from having freedom to serve, order in our court, is this one, indecisiveness. The inability to make decisions can sometimes bring chaos and confusion. Now, I laugh about the whole where are we going to go eat thing. So I just was with my mom and dad last weekend, and so dad has an answer to all couples for this question, where are we going to eat, okay? So you can't tell your husband this because he doesn't need to know the background of it. So other ladies in the church can go tell your husband this thing, or maybe, I don't know, this is how my dad works it. So my dad says that as the husband, you say to your wife, guess where we're going to eat today? And if she says, I don't know where, he says, no, you've got to guess. Guess where we're going to go eat today. And he insists on it. And so then she's like, no, I'm not going to tell you. You have to guess. And so when she guesses, every time the man says, yes, that's it. That's where we're headed to guess. Do you see the wisdom in it? And the wife gets what she wants every time, because it is that, okay, then we're going to get burgers. I don't want burgers. You know, just that whole indecisiveness. And it can really be a waste of time. But this is one thing, too, that we need to consider. That sometimes, whether growing up or whatever period of time that it is, we've maybe made some decisions that weren't right, and the consequences were painful, and we didn't like the pain. Or we maybe grew up in an environment or live in an environment where our decisions were never right. We could never make the right decisions or feel like our decision was right. And so then we fear, you know, the consequences of not making the right decision. And so that's created in us this pain that causes us to want to postpone decision making or basically to not neglect it at all. And unfortunately, as I get to be around young adult people sometimes, even for young men, because women can be so domineering and so, I want this and I want that, that young men will back away and say, I can't make a right decision, so I'm not going to even step into marriage. I'm not even going to step into a relationship. I'm not even going to step near engagement. I'm not going to even step near think of marriage because I'm afraid that I'm going to make a wrong decision. So do you see how it has far-reaching effects to it? It may be little things like finding a restaurant, but sometimes it can be like you put it off and you put it off and you put it off until it's frustrating to you and it's frustrating to everyone around you because you won't make the decision. And so that causes chaos and disorder within a home. Procrastination, the same way. One author said that stress is pressure from without. Stress is pressure from without. Whereas distress is pressure from within. And procrastination causes pressure from within when we put it off. And a lot of time it could be also an indecisiveness. You know, that could also be a part of the root of it there too, and fear that we just keep putting it off because we're so afraid. One of the staff men at Southwest, he teaches a lesson called Eat the Frog. And you're like, what? I mean, some of you may like frog legs, but I mean, it's called Eat the Frog. And basically the principle is like, who wants to eat a frog? Well, no one. No one wants to eat a frog. So you do the things that you don't want to do first and get them out of the way so that you can do the things that you like. So just eat the frog, get it over with, and move on with life. And so sometimes it's just helpful just to make that decision, you know? Just ask God to give you the wisdom and the discernment, and then just make it and move on. And usually it's not quite a big deal as what you thought it was going to be. Perfectionism. You know, you would think, oh, well, somebody that's perfect, they have a house in order. That's usually the opposite. Because everybody in the home knows that they can't live up to the expectations, so they don't want to do anything. They don't try to do anything. And even a woman who's a perfectionist in serving the Lord, if she can't just do it exactly right so that everybody around her says, what a good job you did, then she won't do it at all. So usually it causes her not to serve the Lord at all, than just serve the Lord and not be perfect about it. And so the family's frustrated because her standards are unattainable, frustrating, and neurotic. One lady said that actually with perfectionism, lowering your standard can actually be a good thing if you're a perfectionist. I don't know. I have three boys, so I've had to lower my standard with some of my expectations for cleanliness. I mean, I'll go behind them, and I'm training them to do it, but I think we all just know that God made us as women typically to be have higher standards in those areas. And then the last one is this, is worry. One lady said this. She said actually her husband told her this: don't worry about the things that you can change. And don't worry about the things you can't change. Well, that just covers it all. So he said this: if you can change it, just change it and move on. Don't worry about it. And if you can change it, just accept it and move on and trust the Lord with it. So those are some of the things to beware of. And this is, and then again, this is the heart of it here. Freedom to serve the Lord, ladies, begins with order in our heart. It's just like Ms. Shannon was saying. It's the inside. It's the spiritual man. It's the spiritual self. It's us in tune with the Lord, our priorities right, seeking the Lord, a heart that is yearning for Him, that is crying out for Him, that wants to please Him, that fears the Lord, that creates order in our court. We can't do it in ourselves. So I'm not going to go through all of the scriptures here, but Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So it's so important that we have a clean heart, a heart that is clean from sin. When I got married, the first lesson the Lord taught me is that I was selfish. I did not know how selfish I was until I got married. And every child that came after that, I found out how even more I was selfish, because you have to give of yourself and give of yourself and give of yourself, and you have to deny yourself in order to serve the Lord by serving your family. And God helps you to do that. You have to have a content heart. Order and disorder in our home is often caused because we are discontent. We always want what the Joneses have or the Smiths have, or we want what our parents had, even though our parents worked 30 and 40 years to have it. We want it in the first 5 years of our marriage. And we're just discontent. We want to look like somebody else. We want to be like somebody else. We want to live in this house and have this car. And we're just discontent. And that creates disorder in a home in a hurry. A cheerful heart. If you have a bad attitude, if you're in a bad mood all the time, if the kids and your husband are like, "Leave mom alone today," and you have a critical spirit, that creates chaos and disorder. It doesn't give you the freedom and your house the freedom to serve the Lord. And a contrite heart, and a humble heart that's teachable, willing to be taught. And then this, a controlled heart that's controlled by the Spirit of God. All of those things need to be in work for us to have it flowing out of us, that the outside may be in order. We have to have the inside in order as well. So, you know, oftentimes it's really easy for us to do the things that we like to do. Don't you agree? But it's sometimes hard for us to do the things that we need to do that are hard to do. I think I told this story here before, but that's been years ago, where Trevor, when he was little, threw all of the flashcards out everywhere. They're all over the floor. And I said, "Trevor, you have to pick them up." And he cried, "I don't want to pick them up." "Please, Trevor, you have to pick them up. You don't have to put them in order. Pick them up." "Mama," he specifically said, "Mama, I don't like to do hard things." And I said, I don't like to do hard things either, buddy. But it was a lesson to me to admit to myself, this is a hard thing and I don't want to do it, but I need to do it. I've got to do it. It is my responsibility to do it, so I need to do it. So with that in mind, I think our prayer should be, "Dear God, please help us to want to do the things that we need to do, to want to do those things that are help to our families, that gives our family freedom to serve the Lord." And in considering serving the Lord, I just have a couple of things that I just really want to bring out here that will help you and give you freedom, I pray, and it has for me in serving the Lord. One thing is this: consider your season of life. Life is a progression of seasons. And so, obviously, I mean, you have your young ones, you have the middle years, the autumn years, the fall years. And so it's interesting because the Lord may allow you to do something and make a choice in one season of your life. And then the next season of your life, you may not get to do that particular thing it's not at a season where you are able to do that kind of thing. I mean, we just think about age and the youth and the strength and the vitality you have there. And then as you get older, well, you're not able to do those things in the way that you once served the Lord. And that's really hard. That's really difficult to have to maybe give those up. But it's important because of the cycle of how God created the church. Hopefully you're training a new generation of ladies. As older ladies, that you're training those new ladies as they're coming in to serve the Lord. It's so important that we do that. So you have to consider the season of your life, and that there may be a time where it's good for you to say, Pastor, I feel like that this season is over in my life, and I've been training so-and-so, or he sees, you know, that this lady is able, or God's brought her into the church and she's able to do something. And don't judge others by what they're doing in service to the Lord according to your season of life. Sometimes we as younger ladies say, well, if those older ladies would get to work, then we wouldn't have to work so much. Well, maybe you don't understand quite completely what's going on in their life. And you need to be understanding and gracious. I love it in John 21 where Jesus is telling Peter the plan that he has for him before Jesus ascends back into heaven. And so Jesus tells Peter what he has for him to do. And Peter turns around and points to John and says, what about this man? And Jesus says to Peter, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And I think the Lord probably quietly, and maybe we don't always hear it, says, quit comparing your service with other people's service and just get busy serving me with the things that I have given you to do. It's really important. I think we should develop balance in life. And I want to say this really quick, because so often when we think of balance, we think, oh, balancing family and church, that is not even in the picture. It's not even in the picture. Family and church go together. Amen. They complement each other. You can't have a godly family that's serving the Lord if you don't attend church. And that church can't be striving and serving the Lord the way they could if your family was faithful in church. God, our churches are as strong as our families are. So you need to keep your family in church. You need to keep yourself in church. You need to bring others into church. A church is an assembly, a called out body of believers. And so it's really important that we don't keep the balance that way, because those go together. Now, I understand, like I said before, I could get church work and forsake stuff at home. And I had to make that order. I understand that. But I feel like all too often we're like, well, I haven't had time with my family, so I'm going to miss Sunday night so I can spend time with my family. No, 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 no. Your family needs to be in church and to hear God's word. And I'm going to talk about that just a little bit more. But I do want to say this with balance, is that we really do, when things get chaotic and out of order, we as women can be like in one ditch or the other ditch. Sometimes we can be drill sergeant kind of women, black and white, rah, 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 you know. Or we can be pushover kind of women, that the kids know they can get away with anything when mom's around, you know. And I can tell mom, you know, say a certain thing to mom, and mom will just push over. But we've got to ask the Lord to give us both grit and grace. Both grit and grace as we train our children, as we raise our children, and that we seek discretion and wisdom from the Lord. One mom said that when asked what she would have changed during the teenage years of her 5 sons' life, what she would have done differently, and she said, I would have gone to more of their ball games, and I would have cooked more of their favorite food. And so I feel like that's a good thing, because for me, maybe that's just for me, but oftentimes when you consider, you know, that I've got this to do and this to do and this to do, well, I'll forget the boys' ball games. But that's important to the boys that you're there. Or we're going to eat healthy, and they never get to experience at times their favorite foods. Their metabolism is working great then, so let them eat it. Yours may not be. So that's another one there. And then this one, too, is just consider church attendance and ministry involvement as essential. We've heard a lot of things about things being essential lately. Well, I'm just telling you, being in church and serving the Lord is essential to our lives. Miss Shannon read those verses in Hebrews, and they're so foundational. But Jesus, it was as his custom, he was in the synagogue. His custom was in the synagogue. Let me ask you, would people say, oh, They're gone. Would your neighbor say, she's gone today because she's at church. It's Sunday morning. Oh, she's not at home right now. It's Sunday night. She's at church. Oh, she said something about every Tuesday she's at visitation. Or whatever it is the Lord has for you to have. Is it your custom for it to be that way? I'm telling you, ladies, there are relationships that the Lord gives us in our church that ground us, that establish us, that help us so much. Other ladies, other couples that teach us, that exhort us, that help us. We watch other families and learn what not to do and what to do because we're all sinners in this church family together. Some people say, you know, to raise a child, it takes a village. I say, it takes a church because we hear exhortation from the pulpit. We, if something doesn't make sense to us in scriptures, our pastor tells us, he reproves us, he rebukes us, he exhorts us with all longsuffering and doctrine. I mean, that's where we get our instruction for life. And even for that Great Commission cycle to take place, then in order for someone, or when someone gets saved, in order for them to be baptized, they have to do it in the church. And they're discipled through the church. And they become a witness and bring other people. That cycle goes on and on. And the church is the center of that cycle. So I just want to encourage you, ladies, that the world, our flesh, the devil, they're all going to press in against us to cause us to have chaos, to have disorder in our homes. But just like Joshua, I want to encourage you today, choose you this day whom you will serve. Because you're going to serve someone. You're going to serve something. But choose you this day. As for me personally, and as for my house, I'm going to do my best with God's grace to raise them, to have them to live, to see the example in an environment that joyfully serves the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to beware of those enemies that keep me from having order in my home, that keep me from having freedom and time to serve the Lord. I mean, we could go into a whole other time management lesson, just how to manage our time. But it starts with that choice. God, I want my heart to be right before you. I want my heart to be ordered so that my court can be ordered, so that my house can be ordered, so that my home and family can have a reflection of your order, of your peace in it. Let's bow our heads. I want to encourage you, ladies, today, if the Lord has spoken to your heart in some way. I know we've covered a lot again in the lesson. But I just want to encourage you, if the Lord has spoken to your heart, maybe that He made known some of those areas that were dangers and that were causing disorder in your life or in your family's life, that you would confess those and forsake those like I did. Even preparing this lesson, the Lord reminded me of it. Maybe the areas in your heart that maybe sin there, or you may be discontent or in a bad mood or attitude, or maybe there's elements of pride that are rearing their head in your life, or maybe you're finding yourself not quite in control, but other things are controlling you instead of the Spirit. I want to encourage you to ask the Lord to help you in those areas. Ask the Lord, God, please, I need your strength. I need your grace. I want to look into eternity, and I want to hear your voice of acceptance and of well done. And I want to see people around me that I have influenced and that I have impacted and that I've helped to serve you. Maybe there's some of the things in your life that you say, I need to be considerate. I need to have balance, and I need to be more faithful to church, and I need to be involved in some kind of ministry. As we sing, as the ladies lead us in a song, I pray that you would just talk to the Lord about that. Pour out your heart before Him. Be specific about it. And let's deal with the Lord at this time. Mm-hmm.